Hey KK, thanks for talking to us, man. Man, we have so many things to catch up on. The second KK's Priest album is massive. I can't believe it's album number two already. We've seen One More Shot at Glory. I mean, there's so many cool songs on the record. How are you feeling? I mean, you guys are in a groove right now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, really. Really so busy, which is good, isn't it? Really. Like I
Yeah.
say, it's tremendously exciting now to have a second album out at the end of the month, 29th, and just working on another new video to come out on the same day to coincide. We're going to do a song called Hymn 66, which is going to be great. So working on that at the moment, plus doing lots of interviews, and also we're prepping to go back out and do some more shows at the end of the month as well, with Paul Di'Anno and the Burning Witches, another
Yes.
Napalm act. So tremendously exciting to do that. We're doing some UK shows, then we're going to go to Malta, and really we're waiting for promoters to say, come on, let's bring KK to America, Canada, South America, Japan, Germany, everywhere. So, but I guess that it's inevitable that that's going to happen. So that's what we're working towards.
I think it's really cool how you guys are gonna hook up with Paul. You got that Maiden Priest thing going yet again, in 2023. That made me smile. I can't wait.
Yeah. Who'd have thought that myself and Paul, but anyway, lots of people don't know, but I must tell the story because obviously there was a bit of rubbing of the antlers back in 1980 when we were just finishing up British Steel. And then I opened up the music paper because back then we were very fortunate. We had the New Musical Express and the Melody Maker and all of these weekly music papers, which was what we thrived on, because we could see all the gigs and everything like that. But anyway, and then I read the headline, Iron Maiden are gonna blow the bollocks off Judas Priest. I'm going, are they? Who the hell are these guys? I've never heard of the band. But anyway, they were kind of it was thought that they were gonna support us on their first British tour, which is our British Steel tour, which they did do. Back then I said, no, I'm not going to put up with all of this. I know tons of bands who would love to have the opportunity to come on tour with us, and they're going to be really grateful and really think that we are the best thing since sliced bread, I'm going to re but but anyway, a lot after all said and done, the guys came on tour with us, and it was about 1986, I think, we were on tour, and I think Bon Jovi was supporting us in America, and I met Paul way back then, and Paul said, sorry about that, KK, and we kissed and hugged up and had a beer. We've been buddies ever since, and it's all been over such a long time, but it's great to have the opportunity to go out there. And as you said, David, like the Priest Maiden connection, it's kind of good, really. A couple of the black sheep of the family, we're getting together, and me from Priest, Paul from Maiden, and we're going out there, and I think it's going to be pretty nostalgic in that respect as well, playing some of those old songs. So we did one gig together already, and it was great,
Awesome.
But this
Love
time
it.
we got the ladies on there, the absolute epitome of like the all-girl Judas Priest band, Burning Witches, because they look great, they wear the gear, that they perform great, and when I watch them, I'm thinking, yeah, they are like a Judas Priest from back in the day, all metal, look good, pay a lot of attention to how they look and perform, and I like that, and I'm very much looking forward to. I did meet the girls actually a week or two ago when we played Legend, Leyendas de Rock in Spain, the festival there, and that, because they were playing that festival the day after, I think, or the day before. But anyway, they made an effort to come and see us, and we hung out for a bit, which was really cool.
That's awesome. That's so cool. You know, I know when we talked before, when the first KK's Priest album came out, you were itching to get on the tour. There was still kind of, I think with COVID, things were still kind of up in the air and such. I mean, to have some shows under your belt now as KK's Priest, I mean, it's got to just feel really good. Everything's been looking great. The set's been looking great. Yeah. The music's been sounding great. I mean, it's got to just be a thrill.
We're doing good considering we got off to not a very good start, as we know. I did the first album happened really, really quick, and then suddenly, you know, the guillotine came down, the COVID thing, so that held us back. And then, so I think, like most bands, I just thought, well, better do another album then, you know, so got that done. Put all the songs together really fast, thinking, oh yeah, we're going, and then it happened that we parted ways with our first label that released the first record. So then that departure took time and recruiting a new label, Napalm Now, which we're all very happy with. It's a good home for us and a good home for metal. And so we kind of missed the boat again with this year's tour dates. You know, we were really fortunate that we did pick up some headline festivals. Spots, that was really good. And then we just picked up a bonus gig at Bloodstock Festival going on. Megadeth closed the show, we went on before Megadeth, and that was a great bonus because we just got off the stage in Belgium doing a headline spot for Alcatraz Festival, and we just made our way over to England and played the next night, which was brilliant. And But yeah, we fully expect to be inundated, you know, with for next year's festival. So, but it's all good. And obviously, we need to come to America yet.
Yes, you do.
Is it the Monsters of Rock tour in is it February, March? We're doing that.
Awesome.
You know, so looking forward to going to Florida and jumping on that. But obviously, what we want to do before that is do some shows in the States. Or even later this year, if we can put it together.
You got to play Philly and Detroit.
Strike of the Viper, Reap the Whirlwind, One More Shot at Glory so far. Just incredibly hard. What's different about this album, Sinner Rides Again? I mean, it's hard as nails already. Do you feel how do you feel like this sits in KK Downing's metal canon?
To me, I mean, I'm really, really happy with both albums, you know. And I think the production, the sound on the second album is a little bit edgier and, a little bit more metalized, you know, similar to what we did with the Painkiller album compared to everything we'd done before. I think on the first album, I was pretty happy to go a little bit kind of retro with it, you know, not overly distort the guitars and not too much compression and stuff like that. You know, I kind of like that, you know. And I still think some of those songs could rightfully fit on Stained Glass or British Steel or wherever in the Priest catalogue, you know. But, you know, in respect of, not as though that was the intention. It was just the fact that I like that kind of side of classic metal sound, you know.
Yeah.
And but also decided to just ratchet it up a little bit on the new album. But apart from that, the content, you know, I think if we did the same treatment to the first album production wise, that'd probably sound, it'd just sound like a big double album or vice versa. That's the only difference.
How do you stay in? I mean, I was going to say, how do you stay inspired? But it's, you know, you're made of metal, so that's how. when you write, does it? I mean, is it the same process of coming up with riffs? I mean, walk us through kind of just that process and when you get those goosebumps when you have a riff that just blows your mind.
Well, I think the thing is definitely it's always been the way for me. Really, I've always gone on to autopilot because you know, one thing you can't do is like be influenced by other people or other players. You know, I mean, consider on the, like I said, years and years ago, I decided I want to play guitar, but Jimi Hendrix is like my absolute idol and my god.
Yes.
how can I go forward, you know? And I decided not to learn his songs. I did learn some of them. I'm lying, you know. I did learn some of them. And I did actually play like Spanish Castle Magic in like 1969 at a pub somewhere in Birmingham, and it was great. I couldn't resist it, you know what I mean? So there's a couple of songs that I played. I've got to stop doing that because it's all going to go wrong. I've got to be me, you know. But so I know that there's certain ingredients that are embedded in me and my body and soul, you know, from the great man himself. But I've always kind of thought that, you know, I'll just try to go to try to dig deep and I need to be myself, you know. So I can't play a Strat. I've got to play a Flying V. So give that up, you know, to me.
Right.
I can't, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I want the ingredients live and in studio, you know, and I want that, you know, but I want it to be discreet enough that people go, ah, you sounded like Jimi Hendrix, you're copied, you know. And so yeah. I've been kind of, it's kind of been that kind of journey for me, you know. So it's been, I've had to allow me to take over all of that, you know. And, but really, like with the songwriting, I think it's fair to say that when that happened and we started to achieve success, you know, in my own right as a writer and as a player, you know, then it kind of started to come out that there was this other style, and which I love and I'm a part of, and it's a part of me. And so I want to bring little bits of my heritage and legacy in my life into the present and into the future on this journey with me. I don't want to leave everything that I have been and I am, you know, including my guitar sound, the way I write, the way I produce, the way I hear things, you know. I don't want to leave all of that in the dust, and why should I, you know?
Right.
And that goes the same, like, with the name, really, KK's Priest. I've always been a priest, you know, although beating Judas Priest. But, you know, I've been such a major part of that. And I can't change things. I've got to go forward with everything. But I'm like, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and everything and the band, and like with a new old band, we're, you know, and I like that as well. And I think it fits in with, into quite pleasantly, to a nice kind of void in what's happening, or rather what isn't happening today, and today's classic metal scene, you know. And for that reason, I think that we will all being well, achieve a good amount of success on the back of that, I think, really, because I, as a metal fan, can see that there's a bit of a void for this band to just slot into, really, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
KK, I mean, it's definitely a special thing. Somebody recently said, Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr. recently said in an interview, because you were just talking about Jimi Hendrix, he said nobody, in his opinion, has ever played Jimi Hendrix songs as good as Jimi. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. Yes.
He said nobody can play it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, I can tell you exactly why, is what I think. Because Jimmy's been gone now 50 years. I don't know, 1970.
Yeah.
It's
September of 70, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so if somebody comes along and spends 50 years learning a Jimi Hendrix song and solo and plays it absolutely perfectly, tone and everything, if that's ever possible to do that, it's still not as good because he's not the original.
Yep.
And it's took him 50 years to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I just saw a video on the internet with Richie playing Victim of Change's My Solo. Those were like for like comparisons, you know. Oh yeah, but Rich KK, look, he's on fire. He's doing it great. But Richie's great as well. But hang on, Richie's had 40 years to practice that solo, and the comparison was me playing live. Somebody captured it on their mobile phone, you know. And I've done 5 shows in 12 years or 13 years, you know. So I haven't practiced it much, but you know, yeah. I mean, come on, you know, I mean, that's what I think anyway, because it's easy to roll the wheel, but it wasn't easy to invent it.
Right.
Lots of people can roll it, but there's not many fuckers that can go out and invent it, right?
So, yes. You know, you mentioned Rich, and I know you had a chance to, you know, the Rock Hall to play with Priest, and we obviously want to ask you about that. But what was it like to, after all that time, to meet Richie?
We get on real well together, because obviously, if it wasn't him, it would have been someone else doing that job, you know. And that's all there is to it. I mean, we had separate dressing rooms where, you know, that was arranged for myself and Les Binks at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, lots of people knocked the door and came in, from Dave Grohl to the guys from Duran Duran. I mean, you know, lots of people, but Richie was one of them, and he came in a couple of times and we had a laugh, you know, we get on good, you know. And I get on really well with Andy. In fact, I spoke to Andy Snape yesterday about a technical thing to do with a Kemper profiler, because he knows, you know. So, Andy, can you suggest how I can get rid of this glitching noise, you know what I mean, on the high air? Yeah, so we spoke yesterday. But like I said, I've been up to his place a couple of times, you know, when, even before he was in his band, Hell, you know, at his studio up there in Derbyshire, which is lovely, you know. Mm. Andy's a nice guy. So that's all good. It's only the guys that are dead a lifetime with.
Right. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, man.
No improvements there in communication, or just any sort of meeting of minds or anything.
I think, you know, graciously, people seem to, you know, seem to be quite respectful to me, people that, you know, that I haven't spent a lifetime working with, you know, but
yeah.
Well, you recently said I gave them one last chance on that, and you say you won't be making any more appearances on stage with Judas Priest. Is that something you're really standing by, or are you just that's just how you feel at the moment?
Well, you know, I asked them if they want me to step back into the role a couple of times, you know, in writing. The answer came back no. So it is what it is. And then I write, okay, fine. Then I will start this, and that's what I've done. And now I'm pretty happy, really, because I've rediscovered. I mean, I used to write on the material for the band back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I forgot what it was like to be, you know, it's kind of nice to put material down and just say what goes and what doesn't yourself, you know, without having to collaborate and everything takes so long, you know. It's great just to get on with it.
Yeah. Is it more like, because I saw in that last interview, you said that Ian and Glenn said, I guess through their attorneys, they had written through their attorneys, you know, that the answer was no. You go as far back with Ian, I mean, you go the farthest back with him, right? I mean, is it a bit, you know, difficult?
The worst thing about the whole thing is that Ian has denied me the opportunity to step back into the band, you know. When I mean, we went to kindergarten together, you know, we've always been, you know, we were like brothers, you know. And we spent many years at the back of the bus complaining about everybody else. I always thought it was me and him, you know, for many years. But I just don't know how that can happen, like I say. And Rob left the band for 14 years.
Right.
And I was instrumental in getting inviting him back into the band. How can he deny me the opportunity to go on stage and play my songs? They're saying, we're going to do it, but you can't. Because Ian and Rob never wrote any of the music for this band.
Right. That's what I was wondering. I was just wondering, because it's like, do you feel like Ian has he been pressured by management or pressured by Rob and Glenn? Or do you think, I mean, we were just curious about the dynamic. I mean,
something's wrong somewhere. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, how can Ian, the bass player that's never written any songs, deny me the opportunity of being in the band, you know, all of those years, and I've written all of those songs and riffs, but how could he stand over there and play bass and not allow me to play the guitar to those songs? It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense not to have the original guy back, you know, from the trademark lineup. It doesn't make any sense. Am I that bad?
Your playing's better than ever. I mean, your playing is better than ever.
But anyway, so I've gone ahead and made two albums in 2 years, and those guys have done two albums in 14 years. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Is it all attorneys and business? And is this the business end of music, the bad side that's basically causing all this, you think? Management?
Well, somebody out there is decided that I am going to change history, and I'm going to be the one that's going to decide what the fans hear and what they don't, and who they see and who they don't. Somebody in that band is making those decisions. But they only have it on their conscience, really, because we all know, you know, what the fans, I mean, Ripper is a great singer, and he made two great albums with us. We did so many tours, and he's a lovely guy, you know, and he's great. But, you know, the fan demand to have Rob back in the band was just too overwhelming, really, because, you know, and because Rob, I guess their assertion is Rob is the voice of the band, just like Freddie Mercury with Queen or Bruce with Maiden, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, so that's undeniable, you know, and I think that, you know, Tim would be the first to acknowledge that and get that. Do you know what I mean? Even if he sang the songs better, as we spoke, you know what I mean? It's still, you know, Rob is the voice of Judas Priest. But now, gladly, Ripper is the voice of KK Priest, because that guy is singing so much better than even I've ever heard him before. It's fantastic. So I'm so fortunate to have him, you know, back in the saddle with us.
Yeah.
Dave, I just had one quick
go
one.
Go for it,
here.
Brother. Go for it.
KK, if Glenn, Rob, Ian, and Scott came to you, said, we're making one last Judas Priest album and we want you to play on it, would you even consider doing that at this point, or are you just over it?
One thing's for sure, that will never happen, ever. Because who would the band be? Who would be in the band?
It would be Glenn, Rob, Ian, KK,
Scott.
I guess Richie, Scott, and...
Well, guys, I don't know. I know Glenn's retired from touring, but whether he can write and record, I don't know. I haven't had an update on Glenn's health, you know, sadly. I really don't know. But it's only because I'm so close and in the industry, I heard an awful lot of things from a long time ago, you know. But like I say, unconfirmed, but I don't know. But if it was, sorry, what was the lineup again? Me, Glenn?
Be you, Glenn, Rob, Ian, Scott, and Richie.
So we're three guitar
a maiden style, yeah. Three guitars.
Three guitars now. No, I mean, I guess Glenn, I don't know how, what the state of Glenn is at this point. So, I mean, what if it was just you and Richie? Would you even consider coming back if it was you and Richie playing with Glenn, Rob, and Ian and Scott?
I would have to say at this point, I spent a lot of time and effort, you know, trying to work things out in a way, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty complicated stuff, you know. Like I say, I wasn't happy with a lot of things. The 50th anniversary book, yeah. You know, and everything that's done, you know, I don't get anything, any money from any of that whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah. So it gets tough to see all the merchandise with all of these images that I paid for, you know, and was a part of creating a lot of these images. You know, it gets very commercial, the whole thing, and maybe yeah. That's what it's all about anyway. But, yeah. You know, the first 3-4 years of Judas Priest, the 50 years, you know, Glenn and Rob weren't there. So how does it become a 50th anniversary book if you don't include the first years? Yeah. You know, yeah. And it wasn't right to do that and ask the fans to pay $500 for a book that's not accurate, you know. But there's so many things, grievances, you know, it gets to be a quagmire, doesn't it, you know. But, you know, and considering in 2010, we all as friends, as directors of the company, as businessmen, as bandmates, you know, all of that, we all decided to end the band.
Mm.
We all decided to retire in 2010. The management, and I've got the emails said, we needed to think of a tour title that means the definitive end of the band. So the tour title was the Epitaph Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of certain circumstances, I was being asked to write an EP to support the tour. So I'm saying, so you want me to end my career on an EP? I'm not going to do it. So there was lots of disgruntlement then. And I eventually went, right, if nobody's going to listen to me, you can do the farewell tour on your own. I'm not doing it. Mm. And so I opted out to do the farewell tour. 15 years later, you know, so if it's easy to say now, but if the idea was for them to carry on, you know, I should have known about it. I should have been told about it. Or at least if the option was that they were going to carry on, I should have had the option to, I should have said, we're carrying on, you know, will you step back in?
Because we were just thinking, I mean, to have 50 years, the 50th anniversary tour, and you not be there at least for, you know, a selection of shows or something, it just didn't sit right at all. And it's clearly an injustice with the book and not seeing revenues from that. I mean, my gosh, it's just.
But then they quickly announced, and maybe they were surprised that, you know, Richie would bring a newfound energy to the band. And because that's what they said in statements to the press. And they also said, well, none of the fans are missing KK. So maybe they felt, I don't know, reborn without me, which is a bit odd because I actually felt at the time in 2010 that I was the energy in the band, that everybody else seemed to be just going through the motions. I didn't know about Glenn's illness at the time, you know, but something didn't seem right. I do know that Rob released 2 studio albums in 2010 and did a world tour, including the Ozfest, singing Judas Priest songs. And everybody was in fear that he was going to take off again. So we thought that all of these reasons was why we needed to fold a tent, really, on Judas Priest. And that's what we planned.
Yeah.
So it the goalpost. Someone moved the goalpost on me, I'm afraid.
Right, right. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it's really what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think. I think Richie brought energy to Judas Priest, but I think if you ask any Priest fan, we miss you.
Yeah.
You know, in that band, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys. That's good, and I can understand why I was there so long.
Yeah.
I was like an old shoe or a wart on your neck or something, you know. So I was a part of life.
It's like Eddie Trunk or somebody said that, you know, like whatever set list they put together, you know, and 85% of that stuff, more than that even, is stuff that you wrote. I mean, that's, you know, to this day, like your imprint is, 40 plus years, my gosh, you know.
The last tour that they just did, I saw the set list and they were playing one song off the two albums they did. All the rest were my songs.
Yeah.
So I can only surmise, you know, that there's commercial aspects and just, I don't know. Maybe Glenn didn't really ever want me to be there and him not to be there. I don't know. Maybe he saw that as an end of an era. And I think he's right, as far as I'm concerned. Rob always wanted success with what he was doing, Fight and Two and the Halford Band. And I really believe if he'd have had success being a solo player, he would have done. But now he's got his wish, really, because it just seemed to me, after 40 years of myself and Glenn and that, you know, the archetypal heavy metal Judas Priest band, I mean, to me, I think that this, you know, is a Halford band, because Rob did take Scott with him for the first two Fight albums.
Oh, yeah.
So really, it's the Halford band to me, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, with Andy and new guitar players up there. Yeah, pretty much, right? I guess you could say Ian's playing in Halford. But I mean, KK's Priest is like, that's where you are now. And it's got to be so nice to not deal with all that crap, not deal
drama.
With all that drama. You can write what you want. You can, you're the guy, you got say. What's that freedom been like for you? I mean, it's got to be amazing.
Well, it's great, because now I can see songs that obviously I am the decider of the songs, and I like that. You know, they're not kind of hybrid in a way. Don't get me wrong, I'm really proud of everything that I did with Rob and Glenn. You know, but I'm not interested to see what it's like now, because it's there now. I know what it's like with me. You know, and I just have to ask myself, what would a lot of those Judas Priest songs have been like if it had just been me? I guess we'll never know. But I could certainly see KK's Priest song, you know. But I'm looking forward to collaborating with the guys as we move forward. But we've had to get a step on it, really. And it's great now to have two Virgin albums to go out there and tour with. And there's lots of video footage of us out there. You know, we're just getting going. You know, things have to get better. They can't get worse for this band. You know, just go on from strength to strength. So whatever you see now, expect better as time goes on. Even better.
Cannot wait.
Any concerns? A lot of artists have unfortunately run into the bug in the last couple of months. It seems like it's starting to ramp up a tiny bit. Not anything where it's been the last 2.5 years, but any concerns with that kind of stuff, KK?
I know what touring. You're saying. I don't think we think about it now, because we've been, you know, kind of not wanting to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
But there's quite a few people in my own small town where I live. A lot of people seem to be having it, but I think, thankfully, not in a destructive way this time, because I guess everybody's had some immunity and it helps them, you know. And so I think that we're doing okay. I think we'll be okay.
That's awesome.
We go out there now and we shake hands and we hug and we kiss and we do all of these things, you know, at the festival, you know, because it is like a big family. You know, I mean, I put together the songs Brothers of the Road because, I mean, lots of people say, what's that about? Well, really, we are Brothers of the Road because, you know, we're always out there traveling. We're professional travelers. And it's great when we get to concerts and gigs you see people again you haven't seen for such a long time, and it's great to hang out and have a beer, you know. Yeah. But it's all about the wheels. The wheels are always rolling for us, you know. You know, we're always. It's not long before we jump on a bit of transport in a day. There isn't a day goes by where we don't jump on a bit of, where there's, you know, even on a day off, we'll get in a taxi and go downtown to the red light. No, I'm kidding.
Nice. Is one thing I
always the case, but I'm not saying anything.
Once upon a tour. I love how you said that. You know, the music. There's a pacing to what you're doing now, too, where Ripper can really like get into a groove. I mean, the stuff he did with Jugulator and Demolition were both amazing records. Two of my favorites, really. It's a shame they don't get more attention because I think everything you guys did on there was phenomenal. But you were saying that Ripper he can shine more, kind of, in what you guys are doing now, based on the pacing of the music or something like that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
No, I think this style of metal, the kind of classic, more classic metal thing, I think really suits Ripper, you know. I like to hear him sing in this way, these songs, you know. And it's quite a broad spectrum as well, you know. But I really do like that. But having said that, obviously the Jugulator and Demolition albums will, you know, it's unfortunate that Judas Priest have decided very quickly to just kind of sweep them under the carpet, never to be seen again, you know, which is very sad, really, yeah. You know, not to give Ripper the credit and the accolade of, you know, because when Ripper stepped in, he held the band together, you know, for a long time. And we should really be indebted to him for that, you know, for that era, the Ripper years. But I don't think those albums have been offered commercially to the fans for, I don't know, am I wrong, 30 years, 25
yeah.
years?
Can't find them, yeah.
Saying you don't think there would have been a Angel Retribution and stuff, you think you guys would have just broken up if there wouldn't have been a Ripper?
Well, I think that maybe we would have gone with another singer, but, you know, that's kind of, and we probably would have, to be fair, at the time. But the fact that it was Ripper and Ripper stepped in and did such a great job, I think, you know, that it's unjust for him not to be able to see his albums on sale, you know, and available for the fans, you know, and for us to be able to accept those albums and embrace them into the Judas Priest catalogue on an equal level that all of the albums should be, and that's the way it should be. But like I say, I have to disrespect the guys in the band, Rob, Glenn, and Ian, for not allowing that to happen. It's to be honest, it's quite despicable.
Yeah. Are there tracks from those records that you guys pull out or want to pull out live? I mean, Cathedral Spires is one of my favorite songs, and you know,
great song.
You know, I don't know if there's a throw one in the mix or something here and there.
One thing's for sure, it's so difficult for us to choose a set list, as you can imagine.
Yeah, oh my God.
I've had to, you know, put a set list together recently, predominantly geared up for festivals, because obviously festivals are full of people who have come to see Powerwolf, Megadeth, Saxon, you know, other bands, you know, not uniquely paying the tickets to KK's Priest. So hopefully, you know, for hopefully a pleasing set list together for most people that they'll be familiar with was the optimum thing to do. But now we're going into our own shows, and when we do that, we can obviously be a little bit more, when I say adventurous, you know, with the songs that we might want to play, that we might really want to play, you know, and hopefully introduce certain songs to an audience that may not be so familiar with those, you know. But the set list is the hardest thing to put together for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
We have a fan question here, KK. Tom Traina asks, what's your favorite Judas Priest album cover?
Cover.
What do you think, Dal? Yeah. The album that says it all about the band, the art.
Oh, that's so difficult, isn't it, really? That's so difficult because it's like, you know, it wouldn't need to be done decade by decade, I think. But I think that I still have an affinity to Sad Wings of Destiny, I think, really. Yes. Because that kind of says Judas Priest to me.
Yeah.
You know, is that Judas or is it the angel of the Savior? You know, the fallen angel. It kind of wraps everything up. You know, when Patrick Woodroffe did that years ago, he must have had Judas Priest. That was what he saw. And obviously, then you've got the emblem around his neck that was such a big part, you know. So I think it was important to have that so early on to give us a direction, and the font was beautiful. And considering it was so long ago, I would have to say Sad Wings of Destiny.
Nice.
There's a sound on that record too that's just you just unmatched. It's like it's from the times, the production, I guess, at the time. I mean, do you have any favorite memories of just the recording of that album?
Yeah, it was great times. Yeah, we first met Chris Tangarides was the tape op on that album, which was I can remember. I think UFO were upstairs recording No Heavy Petting, I think it was. I think Sabbath were across the road in Studio 4 doing something. It was good times. I think we used some other studios on that album. I think we used Rockfield as well. I think I think Queen had just done Bohemian Rhapsody there, I think. I seem to remember.
Man, oh man.
On the grand piano. They just moved out. We moved in.
Wow.
So lots of good memories. It's a long time ago. It's all a bit hazy now.
That's a lot you can recall just right there. I mean, oh my God, all that rock and roll history and one kind of proximity happening. Just amazing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so all good. We're up and running and rocking. Lots more live shows, lots more videos.
Yes.
I get to do it at my pace again after all of this time.
Yeah, that's awesome. You deserve that.
You deserve it.
I love how you light up and you're fired up. You know, is it fun to kind of conceptualize the videos too? Like, I imagine you're involved in that. Like, that's got to be fun.
Actually, you can't see on the camera, but I've got all kinds of props and stuff. I've had three deliveries today for the next video.
Oh, nice. That's so cool.
But yeah, I'm heavily involved in all of that. It's all done on a budget, of course, but, you know, we do what we can when we can and keep pushing forward. It's the music camp.
Yes, that's awesome.
There's some KK. There were some amazing photos. I guess it was from Bloodstock that recently showed up on the page, and it just made when you see the pictures, you're just like, he's back.
Yeah, I know.
The,
right?
You know, you had the flame show, and the
show's mega enormous. The show's mega enormous.
Yeah,
it's great. Obviously, we had to take a lot of personnel and gear out. Obviously, when you're headlining festivals, you know, you're competing with other bands that close the show on different nights. So, yeah, this show is lovely. It's wonderful. I really like it a lot. We're still going out there. I don't know what everybody else is going to do exactly, you know, but
yeah,
but it's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, I think it's good not knowing, but, yeah, you know, I aim to take out, to make the show, a real spectacle wherever we are, you know, whatever venue that we play, it will always be full on.
Yeah. Nice. Love it, man. KK Downing, this is so cool. What's next for you? Just another video and you guys get getting ready to hit the road, right?
Yes we are. Yeah awesome. We're flat out doing all of that. It's exciting again. I'm looking forward to getting onto one of those tours where you get to play night after night after night, you know.
Yeah, right.
So please bring us, you know, to Philadelphia, Detroit, everywhere.
Oh yeah
please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
what would you like to say to all the fans out there that have supported you, you know, your dedicated fans who supported you through all these years?
I'd like to say thank you so much for being a part of my life and allowing me into your life, you know, individually and as a band. And thank you so much for helping, you know, again, myself and the band, you know, to reach, you know, and to have been a part, not just a witness to, but to have played a part in this, on this wonderful journey, you know, of metal as we know it today. Because to start with, when I started, there was no heavy metal, there was no heavy rock, there was no hard rock. All we had was blues and progressive blues, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when the first Judas Priest, with me playing guitar, we had to be booked out as a progressive blues band. Because people didn't know, there was nothing else. But anyway, I would like to say, for you guys that remember all of that, and obviously, and people that came, you know, on board later on. It's been wonderful. It's been a lifetime. And we've grown older together.
Yep.
Not old, but older together. And the only thing I can say, thank you so much for being patient. You know, I'm back now, strapping the guitar on a regular basis, doing all of those crazy things I've always done. So please, you know, let's meet up again at a concert near you, and we'll try the best we possibly can to bring our show to you, because these days it's a sign of the times. Everyone expects you to get on a plane or a train or a boat to come and see the band. We'll try and come to a city or a town near you, just like the good old days. Until then, you know, stay safe, keep it metal, and watch out for KK's Priest. You know, check all the ads. We'll be coming to your town as soon as we possibly can.
Yes, the Sinner Rides Again coming at you very, very soon. Oh, man, exactly. Very cool. KK Downing, it's a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, sir.
David Shane, you're a troublesome duo. Coming. It's always good to meet up and see you guys again and answer as many questions as I possibly can. I know it's probably, some things not always the way, but this just happens in a relationship. Everybody,
yeah, right?
You know,
yeah.
This is what relationships do. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah, an ebb and flow. Yeah,
down the good and the bad. You know, the Judas and the Priest. So check it out and we'll see you real soon. Thank you both so much.
Hey, thank you, thank KK.
Thank
you. Pleasure.
KK. Cinerize okay, again.
I'll go and open up some more parcels.
Yes, yes, love it.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sargent.
Hi, this is Steve Hackett.
Hey, folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph.
And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.